you watch the Texans last night?
I watched very little of the Texans. I was locked in on the Rockets last night.
How about, okay, now this is making me nuts. Jeremy Lin might be better without James Harden, okay? Hold on. I don't think they're getting rid of James Harden, okay? So they're going to have to find a way to get the ball in Jeremy Lin's hand and still let James Harden be as creative as he can be.
Let me ask a question, John. I want you to think about this. Okay, James Harden played the Oklahoma City Thunder last year. Last time I checked, the Oklahoma City Thunder had a pretty good other point guard there in his own right in Russell Westbrook, who tended to have the ball in his hands plenty. And somehow they found a way to get to an NBA final last year with having Westbrook with the ball in his hands a big amount of time and Harden with the ball in his hands a big amount of time. Now, Jeremy Lin, first of all, let's start here. The Rockets brought Jeremy Lin in, John, okay, not knowing they were going to have James Harden here. So now that you have, and you'll pass and bring in James Harden because you have Jeremy Lin, that makes no sense. So everything's okay there. You have both players, and you got to make both players work. But I think you saw something last night that was an incredible revelation, which is the fact that, you know, when you're going to put the ball in Harden's hands all the time, and you're pretty much forcing Jeremy Lin to be a spot-up wing, which is a weakness for him. He's not going to be effective that way. I think you have to find time to have the ball in both of their hands a good amount of time. Because here is the thing about Harden. You can put Harden in that wing role, and he's killer. He's a good spot-up shooter. He's excellent off the dribble. He'll create that way. More than that, with a pick-and-roll threat out high like Lin, you're going to suck some defense away from Harden that's going to give him more space. There is a very good creative solution here to having both these players in the backcourt that can benefit the Rockets greatly, and I think you got a vision into that last night. So you're not getting rid of James Harden, and it's not that Jeremy Lin's better without James Harden. I think you have to alter James Harden's role to fit Jeremy Lin's strengths.
Hey, Geltz, I saw a tweet by somebody in the last couple days, and of course James Harden was replaced in the starting lineup by Carlos Delfino last night, who's back now. That I forget the exact numbers, but a majority of the Rockets' most productive groups of five include Carlos Delfino in some way, shape, or form. Do you buy into things like that with specific players, the certain combinations of guys? If they show up in X amount of combinations, a majority of them, that's something that's directly attributable, guy, and specific to Carlos Delfino.
Sean, do I buy it? To an extent, I do. I think you got to be careful not to buy it too much or it becomes a crutch. You know, it's one of those things, and John, I know, agrees with me on this, is you get too hung up in what you're seeing on stat sheets, it completely betrays what you're seeing with your eyes.
Yeah.
So, yes, to a certain extent, I do buy into that, as long as it's not too much. With Carlos Delfino, I absolutely buy into it. I love that player. He defends like a madman. He's got the guts of a burglar. He doesn't mind taking big shots. He'll miss big shots at times, and that's okay. But Delfino's a glue guy, and I'm going to tell you something. I think Delfino was one of the shrewder late offseason signings that any team made, because what's going to happen is you're going to get a contender sometime approaching the trade deadline that's going to have a wing player go down or realize they're short a wing, and they're going to step up with an asset for Daryl Morey to give for Carlos Delfino, and that little signing for just the 1 year that he picked him up for is going to have a nice benefit and bringing yet another asset to the Rockets. Not a huge asset, but you've seen with Daryl Morey that the little assets, asset on top of asset, build up and allow you to have a real nice stack deck.
We got Brian Geltzahler, HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter as well. Do you believe that was Tony Parker's first ever triple-double last night?
Kind of, and I'll tell you why. He's just not the most accomplished rebounder. So, you know, so yes, I can see that was his first career triple-double last night. But, you know, here's the thing about Tony Parker last night. Jeremy Lin torched him defensively, and as well as Parker played, and Parker's such a good player, the weakness for him is still defense, and yes, he played a great game last night. He did not play a good defensive game last night. I mean, there were some, here's the thing, Lin hit a couple of threes that were chucks. He was chucking them from the cheap seats. Okay. However, what Lin did off the dribble with getting to the free throw line and finding some foul trouble for the bigs for San Antonio was very, very effective, and that was because of Parker's inability to stay in front of him. So yes, I do believe that was his first triple-double ever. I can buy that, John. I also will tell you, the stat sheet lies a little bit. Parker didn't play an unbelievably great game with a triple-double because Lin absolutely torched him.
Does Chandler Parsons minus 27 that he had last night, Liga? I know that plus minus, especially in a one-game sample space, obviously can be very, very misleading. But there's not another guy in the Rockets who was outside of the single-digit negative numbers. Chandler Parsons is a minus 27. That just looks weird.
He didn't play well last night, Sean. He really didn't. Something seemed off with him last night. You know, and listen, everybody has bad nights. Chandler Parsons had a bad night last night. He just didn't look like himself out on the court. He seemed somewhat of a step slow. He was sloppy with the basketball when he had it. It was not one of the better games that I've seen him play. And that's funny because you always have to take a look at certain things. You know, box scores can lie. Yes, the minus 27. He had 20 points and 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Hey, wow, what a nice, well-rounded game by Parsons. 4 of 8 from 3. Just didn't play that well.
He has not been the same guy since the shoulder injury.
I think that's wearing on him a little bit. I certainly think it is. Plus, I think they're asking him to play a ton of minutes. I think the role that he's playing here is a big role, and I think they're actually, what's happened here is they're starting to ask a little bit more from Parsons than what Parsons can give, and I actually think that the answer is an interesting answer, and I think it lies in two players. I do think that you got to dust off Terrence Jones sometime soon, guys, and even if to give you some minutes as a wing defender, which I know his future's probably as a big forward because of how big he is. But nonetheless, I think part of this is you look at what you have on your bench from a versatility standpoint, and you're going to have to lighten Parsons' load a little bit. The shoulder's bad, and again, he looked like a guy that wasn't comfortable on the court last night, and it's strange to say about a guy that had 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Talking to Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com. How do you think the Rockets, we were assessing Geltz after the first 10 games, them going into this 10-game stretch that included a bunch of tough games. How do you think about how they came out of it?
I think they came out of it real well. I think they played tough. You know, it's a very, very well-coached team. And one of the things that impressed me, guys, and I think I'd be remiss not to comment about this, Kelvin Sampson afforded himself really well as an NBA head coach in Kevin McHale's absence. I thought he did a tremendous job. I've always been fond of Kevin McHale as a coach. I think he does a very, very good job. There was zero drop-off with the work that Sampson did in McHale's absence. I was incredibly impressed. So, you know, I think the Rockets did a very nice job in that stretch. And I will tell you, where I thought they were a team that was absolutely destined for the lottery here, I think they can hang around for this 8 seed a little bit. I mean, I don't think they're going to get it. I think they'll probably end up in the lottery. But they've played better than I thought they would be. And that's also lied in how some of these guys who I didn't think were all that good have played. Marcus Morris has been very good. Greg Smith's been a revelation. He's played really well. And, you know, I always thought Ashik was a really good player with more minutes. You're seeing it like times 10. I mean, the guy is terrific, and I thought he was great last night. And frankly, if the rest of his teammates could defend the way he defended, they probably would have won that game last night.
Geltz, 9-12 Lakers, 9-12 Portland. Who steps it? Did the Lakers ever? Are they ever going to get this thing?
They'll get it. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, a bottom 4 seed. I mean, I felt like they could still be hovering around 500 come January 1st. The problem that they have is they're a team that, and this is strange, they almost look like the Rockets licking games with how their defense collapses. I mean, people want to talk about defensive efficiency for them, and it's not bad. Well, the numbers aren't bad efficiency-wise. Except the fourth quarter of games, they just fold defensively. They did it against Orlando. They did it against the Rockets. They did it against Utah. They are not getting stops when they need stops. And I'll tell you, the one big culprit on their team has been Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant wanders off the ball. His man's eating him alive in the fourth quarter. Howard can't make up for everybody. The other guy who is for many, many years in this league has been an elite defender and is just not getting it done as like he used to is Ron Artest. And that's starting to hurt them a little bit. The problem that they have right now, no bench, older players, leaning on their older players in an enormous way in the months of November and December, and it's not even translating to wins. You combine that with the fact that they brought in an up-tempo coach with an old team that's not really suited to run, and the Lakers have issues up to their eyeballs right now.
Hmm. Brian Geltzahler, Sheridan Hoops. How is it over at Sheridan Hoops?
We're doing great. We're doing great. We did, you know, we did David Lee last week and Jamal Crawford on Friday with an interview that went very well. We have a special Nets edition coming up later in the week with Ian Eagle and Howard Beck. And we're moving in the right direction. I did a piece, a column for them, which you guys probably interested in, on the fates of the five players that were returned to their teams in the vetoed Chris Paul trade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some stuff on Kevin Martin and some stuff on Scola and some stuff on Dragic. We get a lot into Lamar Odom and the Kardashians. It definitely, I enjoyed writing it. I hope anybody that reads it enjoys reading it as much.
At HoopsCritic.com or Sheridan Hoops?
Both, HoopsCritic.com and SheridanHoops.com.
Well, there it is, right there. Brian Geltzahler with us every week right here on
Geltz,
Yahoo Sports.
Did you tell Jamal Crawford your true feelings about him, Geltz?
I did not. I was very careful. I was very diplomatic. Here's the thing. It's funny because he's played really well this year.
I know.
So you can't get there and hammer a guy that's played well. You know
right.
Who I did kind of, in a very nice way, tell my true feelings about? Was David Lee. And they've played great also, but I actually made the statement to him that I thought that the Warriors, when I looked up and down their roster earlier in the year, I felt like they didn't have a guy that was capable of guarding anybody. So I kind of grouped him in and included him in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, without Bogut and Brandon Ross, defense is their calling card. And David was very magnanimous about that, understood what I was getting at, and certainly gave me a comfortable and appropriate answer. So I'm not totally hiding behind things, Sean. I'll let these guys have it face-to-face a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You think they sustain this, Geltz? They've won four in a row on the road.
I think they could sustain this. I really do. And you know what? I got to tell you, two things going on there. First of all, the team defense is tremendous. Mark Jackson and Mike Malone have these guys helping phenomenally. And the thing is, the two players, and David Lee mentioned this, and once he mentioned it, I've been watching for it, the two guys that have really, or three guys that have been helping them a ton defensively are Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes as a rookie. He's been really good defensively.
Wow.
And Jared Jack gives him some bench minutes that are tremendous. And I think with the team defense, the way it is right now, this could absolutely continue for the Warriors. I really do. I think as long, the thing for them right now is, yes, they don't have Bogut. I don't know when they're going to get Bogut back. And maybe they don't get Bogut back. But they can't sustain a Steph Curry injury. That's the one guy that they're not going to be able to replace on this team. And that's the interesting thing. Every other guy is pretty replaceable for them systemically with how they play. I'm very impressed with them.
Mm. And Mark Jackson getting it done.
Getting it done, Mark Jackson. And I got to tell you, didn't love the hire. Guy's doing an unbelievable job, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that his lead assistant is Mike Malone, who's an excellent, excellent young coach and has done a great job there coordinating that defense.
He was a candidate here.
Yes, he was. And if you remember, guys, I was trumping him for that
job
there. I thought he would have been a great hire for the Rockets.
Yeah.
He's done a great job with the Warriors.
All right, Geltz, we appreciate it. HoopsCritic.com, SheridanHoops.com as well. Hey, we appreciate it.
Guys, always my pleasure. Talk to you next week, fellas.
Brian Geltzahler right here, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560.